Okay, hi everybody. Here we are in Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries number 17B. We're in this compilation, Paths of Higher Evolution compilation, which combines a number of the references on the seven paths of higher evolution. And we're into the rays and the initiations at this point. We've looked at initiation, human and solar, and a treatise on cosmic fire with respect to the first path of earth service, as it's called, the path of earth service. From rays and initiations number 3, page 397, this is the only path which the Lord of the world regards as within the field of his spiritual interference. He can intervene, re the choice. He reserves the right to retain in the service of the hierarchy and consequently of humanity and the subsidiary evolutions those masters he regards at any one time as essential to the work to be done. And I think initiates of the sixth degree have been largely retained at this time, registering their choice, but not moving on. In other words, still concentrating upon the earth scheme and its needs. So this he does by asking them, to record their decision when taking the sixth initiation, but to postpone moving on to one or other of the paths until he gives the word. So let's just say there is a greater retention at this time of those making the decision, passing through the initiation of decision, a greater retention because of the emergency. That's what I understand from some of the writings, and maybe we'll run into them. But all those upon the path of earth service have recorded a decision to take a path other than the path of earth service. Now, does this mean that if you tread the path of earth service, you necessarily fight your way onto the path of the solar logoi and go directly there, or that other paths will lead eventually to that path? This we do not know yet. So, until he gives the word to pass on. This word he has lately given in the case of the Buddha, who has expiated his most understandable mistake and will now go forward in his own good time, and presumably when he decides to do so, on to the path which will lead him to his rightful field of expression. Apparently, no longer the path to Sirius, as was earlier intended. In due time, though not for some time, the Christ will move forward to the place which calls him, and the Master KH will assume the role of world teacher. Well, the Christ as a bodhisattva has a longer than usual term, a term of 5,000 years instead of 2,500 years as world teacher. So we look like we're going to go through the entire age of Aquarius, so this will happen with the onset of the age of Capricorn. But since there are overlap periods involved, we cannot tell when. And the Buddha, too, at some point will pass before the Lord of the world with the Christ. We have to try to localize that in time to a degree. I had the sense that it was occurring later in the Aquarian Age, but if the Buddha, in his own good time, is to move on, whence or whither will he move? And if the Christ and he are to meet before the Lord of the world at some point, when will that occur? So this has to be seriously considered. Master K.H., the world teacher in the age of Capricorn, is my understanding. All these moves present their unique problems. They produce vacancies in the ranks of the hierarchy, which must be filled. And we remember the training to take vacant posts, which will be instituted when humanity knows more about the hierarchy and their efforts. Okay. So they lead constantly to the inflow of new and powerful energies, for it must be recognized that these energies reach us along the paths leading to our planet as well as away from it. So, in a sense, these paths are a kind of higher analog to the Antikorana. Energies descend along the Antikorana, and the way of escape is made along the Antikorana. The invocative note of our united evolution at stated times and cycles sounds out and reaches those who are waiting for spiritual opportunity and service. The law of magnetic impulse is here involved. Also, I'm reminded of the invocation to the Buddhas of activity, but this goes, of course, beyond the planetary ring pass knot and maybe even beyond the solar systemic ring pass knot. They then follow the path to our planet for purposes of vitalization and service. From other spheres and planes, they emerge along the lines of their destiny and intention. And that intention we might call avataric. Oh, indeed. All right. I'm anticipating here. We then call them avatars or great enlighteners or planetary saviors or spiritual regents. They act at the request of Sanat Kumara, given on higher cosmic levels. So presumably beyond the cosmic physical plane, and even cosmic astral plane, maybe cosmic mental plane. So he's telling us about the two-way movement, paths away from our planet for training and paths of return. You kind of think of the solar angels, and they took a path to Sirius, or as human beings to be trained for solar angels, and they probably descend for service along the same path. We can wonder that, whether the solar angels, once trained, return along the same path as they left when human beings intent on training to become solar angels. Okay, so anyway, the two-wayness, the two-way street, as it were, of these paths is emphasized here. And great beings, avatars, great enlighteners, planetary saviors, spiritual regents, all a kind of era, spiritual aristocracy, a high spiritual aristocracy returning for service. And maybe if they're avatars, you know, returning for service with no particular benefit, it's not part of their training, it's simply an act of grace, an act of cosmic goodwill. It is nevertheless a statement of fact that in due time, even those who choose the path of service, what does in due time mean? We don't know how long they have to be retained along the path of what we have called solar service. Great lives remain for very long spans of time, also not given. It is nevertheless a statement of fact that in due time, even those who choose the path of Earth service and remain in hierarchical work are eventually given the right to follow their decision and to pass to extraplanetary service. At first, it may be extraplanetary, because there are training stations, well, stations within our solar system, such as Jupiter and Venus and maybe others. There are certain planetary schools which seem to train for certain paths. The path of the planetary logo is somehow associated with Jupiter. The path, I think, of the fourth path to Sirius is somehow associated, I would say, with Venus. And you kind of wonder about Saturn. What about Saturn's relationship to the path of Earth service? After all, there is a green dragon, and Saturn is a lesser dragon, and relates to the third ray and that field of service where so much must be done, redeeming the third ray so that it comes in line with the second. The hierarchy, as we have seen, gives the needed training for that wider service, and the theme of what I might call the educational process to which the masters submit is unfoldment of the consciousness of relationships which lie beyond our planet. So this is a special type of training in preparation for the preparation for the way of higher evolution. A training, an educational process involving the unfoldment of the consciousness of the relationships which lie beyond the aura of our planet. Even as we study esoteric astrology and cosmic fire concerning the relationship of the three intimate constellations and the 12 zodiacal constellations and the ruling planets, we are in some sense understanding relationships, energy relationships which lie beyond our planet. Not in, of course, in the way the master must, because he must do more than simply mentally understand. He has to get a sense of what the energy really is, and he has to be able to relate to and deal with those energies. This is, in reality, a higher and more abstruse branch of the science of impression. Okay, so the masters in training will receive impression from these energy sources beyond our planet. Beyond our planet and even beyond our solar system. So the science of impression, spiritual telepathy, it's, you know, difficult enough to master when we're dealing with impression from the cosmic ethers of our cosmic physical plane. But now we're talking about impressions not just related to the plan and purpose of our planetary logos, but something far beyond involving sources to which travel on the way of higher evolution is possible. So it's a more abstruse branch of the science of impression which disciples upon their lower level have to master. So, again, the analogy. This aspect of impression is, however, concerned with the formless worlds, truly formless, well, maybe, whereas all the impressions to which the disciple has to learn to react emanate from and within the cosmic physical plane. So what are the formless worlds? And that's what's suggested, i.e., beyond the cosmic physical plane. So impression from the cosmic astral plane, surely such a great being as the Christ is receiving impression from beyond the cosmic physical plane. He has, in his Vishnu-Neptunian connection, a direct impression from the cosmic astral plane. Whereas all the impressions to which the disciple has to learn to react emanate from and within the cosmic physical plane, of which all our seven planes are an integral part. Our highest spiritual world is part of the substantial world, cosmically cosmically considered. And cosmically considered. Okay. The masters, therefore, are working at a conscious receptivity or sensitivity to the cosmic astral plane. Okay. And some paths, of course, lead to the cosmic mental plane. Some paths lead to the cosmic mental plane, and one even to the cosmic Buddhic plane. But that will take many Mahakalpas to tread. You know, we're told that a master now, page 272, I did remember it. I wrote it down in big letters, you know. So here and cosmic fire, page 272, it says, man is repeating, okay, a heavenly man has his source outside the solar system as man outside the three worlds of his endeavor. Namely, the source is egoic source and monadic source on the cosmic planes for a heavenly man. And has his main focal point on the second, a heavenly man has his source outside the solar system and has his main focal point on the second plane of the system, the monadic, and is seeking consciousness on the planes of the triad, this in relation to the cells in his body. This is so important. And I have to copy it. Page 271. So we'll say that a TCF. Okay, a heavenly man. We have to get that straight. Put that in here. And this is Cosmic Fire 271. And it means that monadic plane, second plane, most main focal point, main most important focal point for a heavenly man, planetary logos. Uh-huh. Right. English US? No. English UK? Yes. All right. Now this should be put into the treatise on cosmic fire. Well, into the AAB extracts. I know it's a long title. Because main focal point, because we have seen that there is a particular focus for the heavenly man upon the monadic plane. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't have a focal point on the logoic plane. He will. But given his state of evolution, not yet a second degree, or at least our heavenly man, the heart center, or at least some correspondence with the heart will be important. All right. He developed consciousness on the three lower planes of the three worlds during the first solar system, again in relation to the cells in his body, not his own consciousness as a cell. Man is repeating his endeavor, that is the heavenly man's endeavor, up to the fifth initiation, which will bring him to a stage of consciousness achieved by a heavenly man in a much earlier Mahamanvantara, much earlier. In connection with the initiations, this should be carefully borne in mind. DK is giving so much clarity here, but it will be a while before we can really assimilate this and really understand that. A solar logos has his origin on a still higher cosmic level, has his main focal point on the cosmic mental plane, but is expressing himself through the three lower cosmic planes, just as man is seeking self-expression in the three worlds. Okay. Well, I've gone through this and I've done this. You know, doing it once, of course, is nothing. There's a very good cosmic fire group which has been led by Abraham Davidson and Terry Chivers and other students. And when they finished cosmic fire once, they started all over again. It seems like exactly the right thing to do. You know, not just to read it once, twice, three times, five times, but to study it intensively, repeatedly, and that will take maybe more than one life, I suppose. Okay, so that's something I wanted to capture. The capturing of references, you see, one day they all come together into a coherent picture. So masters are, as I was suggesting, working at a conscious receptivity or sensitivity to the cosmic astral plane. You could say a higher form of the science of impression. The source of the masters, therefore, working on the in relation to the cosmic astral plane, the source of the spirit or energy of love. Is it the spirit of love? Is it the noumenon of love for us? Noumenon of love? Perhaps. Anyway, it's such a high form of love, regardless of what it means relative to the love of the cosmic mental plane or cosmic buddhic, for us it is a supreme energy. There is a fundamental connection between the hierarchy, the source of expression of love on Earth, and the cosmic astral plane. So this is the hierarchy in its Neptunian function. And it is towards this objective that the masters work who choose the path of Earth's service. And you have to say, well, will this lead to the path of the solar logoi? Anyway, they must become receptive to the cosmic astral plane. Master DK, who apparently is treading the path of Earth service, says he does not know what transpires there. He has not been there, but maybe in terms of receptivity, the masters can achieve something. Now, it seems to me, think of it this way. the first path, well, let's capitalize those, first path, the sixth grade of hierarchy, the energy of Neptune, and the cosmic astral plane, which is the sixth cosmic plane. Those ideas go together, and I suppose pure cosmic astral love as being an important basis of identification, which the masters on this path must master. The major ray of our solar system is that of love wisdom, and there's no better field on which to master the preliminary stages of that divine unfoldment and receive the needed development and education than on Earth. So the second ray soul of our planetary logos makes the Earth scheme and maybe our planet and its chain the best, quote, place to master love wisdom in its preliminary stages. So you would think that with all the struggles we have with matter and with the leftovers of the previous solar system and with the obdurate and unresponsive congestions of energy we call matter, you'd wonder how Earth could possibly be such a fine place to learn love wisdom. But perhaps Saturn here is the great teacher, Saturn and its influence on Earth. Saturn and its influence on Earth may make this planet the best place to learn. Really, the law of karma under Saturn is the law of love. And Saturn is a very sacrificial being, having made, we are told, a bridge for lost or almost lost beings of the previous solar system to make it into this solar system. And there, so I just have to impress that upon myself. There's no better field on which to master the preliminary stages of that divine unfoldment and receive the needed development and education than on Earth. So we can say that, we adjudicators between the pairs of opposites here on Earth are learning love wisdom in a in an exemplary manner. Okay. Now, on the Earth, the masters have overcome glamour and illusion, and for them, no astral plane exists, simply a vibratory field through which to express love. Here again, a six in relation to this path. And remember that these masters fight their way onto the sixth path of higher evolution. Seven paths. The sixth path. So, how about that? Sixth path of higher evolution. Sixth path of higher evolution. So they fight their way on. So the number six is really powerful here. Yeah, okay, I see what the problem is. Okay. Right, needs just a little bit of correction. and we'll do this sixth path of higher evolution, quotation mark. All right. Now, ahead of them, and owing to their freedom from these bewilderments, you know, what's a bewilderment? Lost in the wilds, lost in elemental life, lost in the forest. That's what it means to be bewildered, you know, among the trees. Interestingly, the trees was the name for the Black Lodge of old, lost among the trees. Now ahead of them, and owing to their freedom from these bewilderments, will come the opportunity to enter into the heart of God, the center of pure love, and from that center to tread the way of love. Wow. Okay. And this suggests a path of the solar logoi. In our case, our solar logos is a love being, and treading the path to the cosmic Buddhic plane. So even a purer form of love, cosmically considered, is present. So the number six, they will have the opportunity to enter the heart of God. So we are thinking of the solar logoic heart center, etheric heart center, and beyond. Because they will have many cosmic planes to planes to traverse until they reach the cosmic Buddhic plane. So the center of pure love, and from that center to tread the way of love. We have to say that any path leading to the cosmic Buddhic plane must be a path of love. And, you know, that'll come into connection with the love aspect of the Pleiades, I suppose. There's a direct connection here with of our solar logos with the constellation Taurus and with the Pleiades as a source of love. Because the Pleiades are the only ones which... see, that's the connection. The Pleiades distribute cosmic buddhi, and our solar logos and other solar logoi are treading a path to the cosmic Buddhic plane, so the Pleiades must be involved. There's no other source of cosmic buddhi that we are given, at least in relation to our local system. All these seven paths lead either to the cosmic astral plane or to the cosmic mental plane, according to the decision made at the sixth initiation. Well, in other words, it's not the decision that determines whether it will be the cosmic astral plane or the cosmic buddhi, or cosmic mental plane. Is the path itself which determines the plane of destination. Upon the cosmic astral plane, there is no glamour, but instead a group great vortex of energy, the energy of pure love under the domination of the law of attraction. But then we have to ask, then what are the higher members of the Black Lodge doing focused on the cosmic astral plane, which, you know, apparently is not entirely purified, but nevertheless is the source of pure love. But you kind of wonder, you know, if there are hell sections of the systemic astral plane, then or on the seventh level thereof, then what of the cosmic astral plane and the focus of the members of the Black Lodge? Anyway, it's just a correspondence, but it is interesting. It might be stated that the path of earth service leads to the cosmic astral plane, but it must be said. Maybe supposed. It must be said that if the path of the solar logoi, path of the solar logoi is the destination of those who are on the path of Earth service, then the cosmic astral plane is not the last destination for such masters. Okay, so anyway, the cosmic astral plane, that is, but you know, progress along the path of the solar logoi must be very gradual, and other stops along the way will be experienced. The path of magnetic work leads to the cosmic astral plane, okay, and there is extensive work done there by the fifth ray masters, or chohans, or monads, who work in connection with our astral plane. The path of training for planetary logoi leads to the higher levels of the cosmic mental plane, and I don't think I ever noticed, and I must say, to the higher levels. So, cosmic causal training must be involved, because the higher levels of the cosmic cosmic mental plane is where the egoic lotuses of the planetary logoi can be found. Okay, path four leads to the cosmic astral plane, and my question here is, was this always the case? Was this the case when the human beings of the previous solar system, or the human initiates, let's see, of the previous solar system, passed to Sirius for training as solar angels? So it seems that it is required, but you know, if you think about that previous rather material solar system, and maybe there were only five planes active, I don't know. We're told five is the number of Brahma, seven of Vishnu, and nine of Shiva, in relation at least to the three major solar systems. So, to pass thence to the cosmic astral plane for training is quite a leap. But it seems that one cannot really train as a solar angel on the cosmic physical plane in relation to Sirius, but one can ask the question, can one train on the cosmic physical plane when seeking to become a solar angel in the training program of Sirius? In any case, there were initiates in the previous solar system. I think the third initiation was the highest initiation one could take in the previous solar system. Anyway, the Buddha could not take the third initiation on the moon chain, we are told. Conditions were not ripe for him to do so. And maybe that initiation was not offered on the moon chain, but if it was, at least at the time he was ripe for taking it, he could not. But what of the previous solar system? I guess we could, you know, kind of ask. Solar system, third initiation, previous. What does it say? Well, the term third is not here immediately. Forget not that the black magicians of today were the initiates of a previous solar system, maybe not high initiates. When the door of initiation is ready to open for the third time, the parting of the ways takes place. It's at ready to open, I think, past the midway point. Some follow selfish intention and the fixed determination to remain with the separative conditions of matter, and to others, the divine will is clearly impressed upon them and becomes the motivating power for their life. It was under instructions from the Great White Lodge on Sirius that the door remains closed the third time to the Dark Brothers. Evil, as we understand it, has absolutely no place on Sirius, and one becomes then a disciple in relation to Sirius at the third initiation. So I'm not finding it there. Third initiation, highest system. Well, maybe we can see there. Okay, that's not it. And this is not it. And this is not it. And this is not it. So, what about this? No. So maybe we're not going to understand at least what was the highest initiation which could be taken in the previous solar system. Although it was, in a way, the first major, it would correlate with the number three. It was the fourth solar system. Was it possible for a human being to take the third initiation in the previous solar system? Third initiation and third initiation system first. Let's see. Third initiation, application of the rod. The first of the three fundamental secrets of the solar system. No. All right, well, I'm not going to find it now. I have a feeling that the third initiation might have been possible. I also think the fourth initiation was possible on the moon chain, but it might be well to see whether that was the case. Fourth initiation, moon chain. In the third chain, the moon chain, we have an interesting fact. On the moon chain, the point of attainment for the individual was the arhat, or the fourth initiation. Well, we know that's interesting. So the Buddha could not take the third initiation at the time he was ripe for it, even though on the moon chain, even though the fourth initiation was possible for moon chainers, at least the arhat initiation was the highest. And so maybe we can say fourth initiation. First, fourth initiation, moon, fourth initiation, solar system, previous, none. Solar system first, maybe. It's taking a little while, I'm sorry. The fourth initiation, another Buddha will transmit second plane force. Amazing. No. In the first solar system, the fixed cross holds him in this solar system, fixed in place. He mounted the mutable cross in the first solar system. Okay. No. All right, well, we're not going to find that reference, but maybe someone does know it and can convey that to us. Could the third initiation be taken in the previous solar system? What was the highest initiation? The highest initiation on the moon chain was the fourth, and this the Buddha could not take there. He probably took that, well, we cannot say when. We don't know, but we know his third initiation was taken in this chain, this earth chain. The ray path leads to the cosmic mental plane, okay, and the path the Logos himself is on leads to the cosmic Buddhic plane, and we have to ask, is this the case for all planetary Logoi? Or rather, solar Logoi. So, is this the case for all solar Logoi? Or simply for those who have a strong second ray, as our solar Logos does? The path of absolute sonship leads to the cosmic mental plane. Notice when we mention cosmic mental plane on path 5 and path 7, we do not speak of the higher levels. So, let's say no higher levels of the cosmic mental plane are mentioned as in path 3. I find that interesting, and this we can also put here, although absolute sonship seems a very high type of destiny. Now, one can only wonder about the synthetic destinies of path 8 and 9. You know, if you compare path 8 and 9 with initiation 8 and 9, you see that initiations 8 and 9 for man are synthetic, and they involve groups of rays rather than a single ray. Even initiation 7 for man involves this second ray of love wisdom. So what about, I think it's the four rays of attribute for initiation 8 and maybe the three rays of aspect for initiation 9. Let us check that out. The rays and the initiations, and it should be immediately above us. The four minor rays and the three major rays, indeed, they are synthetic. So one wonders about those greater paths. Nothing is mentioned about them except that they are now open, and one cannot help but think of the nine Pleiades, including Atlas and Cleone, and not just the seven sisters. It's almost as if these are the major ones, and somehow the other nine times 108 is 1072. Well, I'm thinking of connections here with our planetary logos. 960. Let's get back to our. So, 960 divided by 960 divided by 8 equals 120. 960 divided by 9. Okay, clear this. 960 divided by 9 equals nothing equal there. We know that, let's see, it's the thousand-petaled lotus, but it has 10 times 96, that's it, is 960. 10 times 96 plus 12, 972 petals. That's what's important. 10 times 960, it's almost as if there are 10 tiers of petals in the head center and added to it the central 12, 972 petals. Anyway, these are synthetic initiations, the 8th and 9th, and you wonder about the eventual synthetic paths. That could be very interesting. But DK, you know, there's enough to manage just with the 7 paths in our conception, yet alone adding the synthetic paths. Matter of fact, he really says very little about the 8th initiation of transition and the 9th of refusal. Even not much about those initiations, and so the cosmic paths are even greater in their opportunities. Three paths, therefore, lead to the realm of loving, attractive energy. And which ones? A path of earth service, path to Sirius, and the path of magnetic work. One path leads to its higher correspondence, the cosmic level of pure reason. He doesn't talk about love, he talks about the intuitional meaning, the cosmic level of pure reason, the cosmic Buddhic plane, and three lead to the realm of divine mind, and one specified to the higher levels of the realm of divine mind. Four of the paths relate the advancing master to the heart of the great life who functions through this solar system, and three to his mind nature. The heart of the great life, and who is that great life, and is there more than one? And I would say to the cosmic logos and the super constellational logos, the one about whom. All of them lead the initiate eventually to the central spiritual sun, and not just Alcyone, but to the Pleiades in general. Now, and here, the central spiritual sun does not mean the monad of the solar logos, okay? Because they go beyond the system. All who work in Shambhala find their way to this supreme center by the three most arduous ways, whilst the remainder reach the same goal by the way of love. Now, all who work in Shambhala find their way to this supreme center. Aha. This supreme center, not to Shambhala. Shambhala is not the supreme center. Okay, Shambhala is not the supreme center indicated. But, rather, okay, the Pleiades, or the central spiritual sun, cosmically considered. But in what are the three most arduous ways, whilst the remainder reach the goal via the path of love? So what are the three most arduous ways? Well, I suppose the most arduous, most arduous, I suppose, is the path of absolute sonship, okay, I think it's necessary then to put that in, path of absolute sonship, all right, maybe I thought it was so arduous one didn't need to put it in. Path of absolute sonship. Okay. No? I better try again. Path of absolute sonship. And let's see if I can add this. Path of absolute sonship. Okay, try it again. Let's see if anything can be added. Path, path of absolute sonship. All right. And it looks also as if the ray path and also the path of the planetary logoi, path of planetary of... Okay, it looks like some of these have not been put in. Path of the planetary logoi. So let's do that. And path of the planetary logoi. I know we've had to pause a bit to do these. All right. Path of the planetary logoi. Yes, maybe these are the three most arduous paths, but one wonders whether the path of the solar logoi would not be extremely arduous as well. What are the three most arduous ways? Are they, or why the others reach the same goal via the way of love? Well, it appears that the way of love is less arduous than the ways which involve the hardline rays. Or at least the first ray is involved with Shambhala and is suggesting the treading of certain paths. Absolute sonship and the ray path, yes. But why is the path of the solar logoi not arduous? Why is the path of the solar logoi not arduous? Yet it is a path of love. Apparently so. Okay, we're reaching that point. The unfoldment of the will has much to do with their decision. It must not be thought that those masters who are on the first, third, and fifth rays, for instance, follow the path numerically the same. Well, no, we learn of the second path, path of love, followed by fifth ray masters, and that the ray path is often followed by second ray masters. Such is not the case, nor that those who are predominantly on the second line of energy find the cosmic astral plane their goal. Such again is not the case. Their response and decision is based on the realization of cosmic need, a need of which you know nothing, any more than it is possible for you to comprehend the nature of cosmic evil. So cosmic need, within what greater system is this need detected? In the cosmic logos? In the one about whom not may be said? Anyway, their own qualities and cosmic need determine the path, and not the ray per se, because the ray actually becomes a kind of limitation. And at a certain high point, the monad can function on all the rays. The ray is a kind of a veiling limitation. So who are these? If they work in Shambhala, they find their way to the Supreme Center by the three most arduous ways. See, the suggestion is that the three most arduous ways are not paths of love. And we are given, actually, four paths of love. Well, three definitely paths of love, and one to the higher correspondence of love. So apparently the path of the solar logoi is not considered one of the most arduous ways. But since it's such a high path, and one has to fight one's way onto it, you kind of wonder why. All right. Well, this is going to take a long time. This is the Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries, number 17B. We're on page 25 of the Seven Cosmic Paths. Seven Cosmic Paths compilation. Oh, paths of the. Okay. To be called the Paths of Higher Evolution compilation. As I say, the pages may change if I interpolate above, but at least this will give us some orientation, and we will begin a beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 18A, page 25, on the Paths of Higher Evolution compilation. All right, friends, this is deep material. It requires that we use our imagination in relation to states of being, which and identification, which we are a long way from expression. But as D.K. sometimes says, perhaps some glimmer of realization may come to us, some orienting thought, some sense of the way by which we once descended, and most probably that is the way by which we must return. So we will move on and continue working on the path of Earth service. See you soon.